Hey guys, welcome back to Esthetician on the Edge, the podcast. During the coronavirus quarantine. Full disclosure, I am recording this while drinking. Yeah, it's 10:30 in the morning here. I did throw in a biscuit, a fake sausage, to make a Sammy so that it feels more brunchy and a little less alcoholic-y. For my overseas listeners, when I say biscuit, I mean like the southern biscuit, bread, not a cookie. I am not going to spend any time talking about the coronavirus. You are presently being bombarded with all of that. But I do want to say good luck to all of you out there. I hope when this madness is over, your business is still in business and you've got more hairy vaginas, scrotums, and eyebrows than you can possibly handle. Now, enough of that depressing shit. Let's get on with the show. We're going to be talking about niacinamide. I've got, I think, two, maybe three questions that I didn't answer that you guys sent via DMs about a month ago. Also, I'm going to throw around one little quick spa etiquette tip, and then I'm going to share your very worst coworker stories. But first, let's go back to the classroom where y'all should have paid attention to those boring lectures, but you didn't because you were on your phones or you were asleep. You should have seen my slideshows for the ingredients chapter. It was awesome. It was also overwhelming. I'm not kidding you. I had like 100 slides. My poor students. Anyway, if you're here for the giggles, fast forward. The next little bit is going to be nothing but facts and figures. So boring. Now on to niacinamide. It is a popular skincare ingredient and it is one of the best studied in the cosmetics community because it has been around for decades. But like all active ingredients, occasionally it'll experience a resurgence in popularity. If, let's say, like, I don't know, like a new and upcoming brand happens to stumble across it, or a really popular brand features it on their like labeling. So what is it and what does it do? Niacinamide is a form of vitamin B3. You know, there's like a million forms of vitamin B, but this is one of them. And it has a pH of around neutral. Now, what does that mean? It should be one of the least irritating ingredients that you could possibly put your client on. Like 99.9% of your clients should not have a reaction to this. Now, you can ingest niacinamide in a supplement form. And this has actually been shown in one clinical study to help prevent the reoccurrences of skin cancers in patients that were prone to getting them, the types that were not melanomas. Now remember, before you start any kind of supplement regimen as a preventative measure, consult your physician. As estheticians, however, we know niacinamide mainly as a topical ingredient that has been added to products to help with a whole host of skin problems. It usually comes in formulations at a percentage of around 5, although some products like The Ordinary and Paula's Choice will have them at 10 and 20% options. The higher percentages, now that's recommended for people who are seeing like more advanced signs of aging. So if you have young tanners, you might want to go ahead and clue them into niacinamide. Things like enlarged pores or... it's called like orange peel texture, and you see that a lot in super oily skin that is now starting the aging process. I also see it a lot in clients that have polycystic ovarian syndrome. Does anyone else feel like they're seeing a ton more people with PCOS? Or wait, I'm sorry, with symptoms that could indicate PCOS because, you know, I cannot diagnose. I don't know. I think it's strange though. I went for so long without really seeing a lot of it, and now in younger people, holy shit balls, it is everywhere. Okay, but don't let me get off track. Niacinamide. Back we go. Niacinamide does something absolutely fucking magical. It improves the permeability of the barrier function. Yeah, in layman's terms, it stabilizes and it strengthens your skin's barrier function, that thing that protects us from the big bad world. But that is not all it does. Niacinamide has a lot more up its sleeve that helps with your typical aging issues. So if you have clients that have wrinkles, you know, you get your aging clients coming in, niacinamide will help with wrinkles by increasing the production of keratin, of lipids, and ceramides. And we're not finished. It also inhibits protein glycation. Now, do you guys remember glycation? You were probably asleep for this one, too. I know I slept through it. It is where sugar molecules, because remember, sugar is bad. Sugar is bad for everything. But sugar molecules in your system, they basically attach to proteins. And it causes the protein's fibers to become stiff and they don't have any elasticity or spring back. So there's no fixing that, right? Glycation affects everything, not just skin. It affects your internal organs as well. And there's links to diabetes and Alzheimer's through glycation. So there's a train of thought that it is a problem and could have something to do with diabetes and Alzheimer's and a lot of other serious medical conditions. Basically, glycation is the eventual death of the body. And after this quarantine, I'm pretty sure that we're all going to have to be like dipped in niacinamide after being quarantined, because I've been eating like a fucking middle school kid. Gushers? Yeah, I'll take some of those, please. Probably because it's the only thing I can find on my grocery shelf, but whatever. This lovely ingredient will help curb the process of glycation a wee little bit. Now, I'm sure that you guys have clients with dark spots and sun damage, and it's got you there too. It inhibits the transfer of melanosomes. Remember those pigment granules? It works right alongside ingredients like kojic acid, lactic acid, and glycolic without any issues at all. A 4% formulation of niacinamide has the same exact effect on lightening darkened areas as a 4% formulation of hydroquinone. Yeah, that's impressive. And it doesn't come with any of the health concerns of hydroquinone. So that's a win. Now, if you have acne clients, niacinamide actually helps control oil production. And in this regard, it can actually be taken orally or it can be applied topically. But again, always check with your physician before you're starting a round of oral supplements. For your rosacea clients or your more sensitive skin clients, it can go toward really helping with redness and inflammation because remember, it stabilizes the skin's barrier function, which is a huge problem with sensitive and rosacea clients. So let's recap. Niacinamide stabilizes the barrier function, it increases the production of lipids and ceramides, and it inhibits pigment transfer. It does all of this while being one of the least irritating ingredients on the market today. Niacinamide, basically, it is a non-irritating, multitasking, plays well with almost all ingredients, superstar. You need to get on board if you aren't already using a product or two with niacinamide. So when I was looking into niacinamide, I thought it would be a good idea to do some comparisons of some of the products that are available for you today. And we did touch on two of them, so let's go ahead and talk about them. Paula's Choice 10% Niacinamide Booster. Now, I know it says it's a booster, but you can apply it by itself or you can add it into your moisturizer. Now, the first three ingredients are water, niacinamide, and acetylglucosamine, which is, that's basically just a humectant. It is $44 for 20 milliliters. It unfortunately comes with a wonderful dropper applicator. They are disgusting things. But anyway, it has a true serum base. It can be applied twice daily. And Paula also has a 20% formulation. If you are interested, I was not and did not look into it at all beyond the price. Honestly, the 10% seems like a fairly affordable option for most people if you are interested in trying a product with niacinamide. Okay, next product I looked at was The Ordinary. It is a 10% niacinamide with 1% zinc, and the first three ingredients are water, niacinamide, and pentylene glycol, which is just another humectant. Looks a lot like Paula's stuff, right? Mm-hmm. It is also in a true serum base. It can be applied twice daily, and you're going to love or hate this price. It is $5.90 for 30 milliliters. Yeah. It too comes with the skincare equivalent of the stripper pole, those nasty drop applicators. This one, definitely affordable for anyone that needs to try something at a low price point. Next up, we have SkinCeuticals Metacell. The first three ingredients are water, glycerin, and dimethicone. So basically, we have a base, which is water, and two conditioning agents. The fourth ingredient listed was niacinamide. So this one is going to have a smoother finish than the first two formulations because of the silicone. So it's going to go on and feel really good. It is $112 for around 50 milliliters, roughly. Now, I had to convert that, and I suck at math, so you might want to check me on that one. It is in a pump bottle. Whoop, whoop. I mean, honestly, kind of has to be in a pump bottle because it's a cream, but whatever. I love pump bottles. And this one is a bit pricier than the previous products, but if you are a diehard SkinCeuticals fan, there is a niacinamide option for you. While I was looking at the products, I kind of noticed some of the reviews and the ratings. And none of these products had like straight 5 or 4 stars. There were a few 3 to 1 star reviews. And honestly, I think people are expecting too much from just a single OTC product. And yeah, if it is a SkinCeuticals product, it is still OTC. You can buy that shit online, so that's OTC. Now, reviewers are also, I think, not giving it enough time to do its work. So they're expecting too much, much too quickly. And if you have severe acne or rosacea or super supremely true sensitive skin, and you're purchasing this as a cure, that is not how it works, especially not on your skin. There are quite a few products out there with niacinamide in them presently. If you want to try, I wouldn't waste my time with cleansers that have niacinamide in them. It doesn't stay on your skin long enough to do anything to be beneficial. So I would go with a serum, with moisturizer, with an eye cream, something like that. Hopefully that helped you understand niacinamide just a little bit better. If not, let me know. I'm sure you will. If nothing else, I believe I said niacinamide so much that your pronunciation should be spot on. It'll be spot on, but with like a little twang, maybe. But that's fine. It gives it character. Okay, enough theory. Let's hear some stories from you guys. I reached out last week and asked you for your terrible coworker stories, and I got several that I thought I would share with you. For me, it always helps to feel like I'm less crazy if other people are going through some of the same struggles. So maybe one or two of these will help validate your bad days. Up first, we have Jenny. Jenny Bean 2007 says, at my first esthetician job, I worked at a spa that was owned by Russian owners. Most of my coworkers were Eastern European. They as a whole don't sugarcoat shit. Now I'm gonna jump in. I can say I have had that same experience with several different coworkers from Poland and Romania. One of my coworkers, and I was not an esti at the time, she was from Romania, and she said whatever the hell she was thinking. We waitressed together, and she told me one day, just out of the blue, we were sitting there waiting to go on shift, and she says, you'd be really pretty if you learned to do the makeup better. Shit. Okay, thanks. Thanks for that. Yeah, tough love. They believe in tough love. Okay, but back to Jenny Bean's story. She says, they'll call you fat to your face and not feel bad about it. I took the job because it was the first place that offered a job. The coworker from hell was not happy that I joined because I could potentially steal her clients. She would often move clients from my books to her books because she claimed that they were her regulars. Later, I found out I could look back at the client history. 95% of the people she had moved had never had a facial. I was only there a few months because it was literally impossible for me to build my books with her continually moving clients. Yeah, that sucks. I went through that on my first job. I think I've mentioned the bitch who is Nancy on the podcast before, and she would totally lie and steal my clients from me, which was the reason that I eventually moved on. Next up, we have Anonymous, an anonymous listener, and she says her worst coworker is with her currently. She works at a small spa on the coast and gets regulars as well as tourists. Typically, she says, we are both pretty busy. But in the last 6 months, I've really been pushing to build my client base further and have posted incessantly on all my social platforms. I took a certification in chemical peels. I've gotten faster in waxing. And it worked. I'm booked out a month in advance. My coworker is not happy that I have more regular clients booking because she gets stuck with the tourist, who only ever want pampering facials, which she hates to do. In retaliation, she has started refusing to do any laundry unless it's hers. She hoards supplies in her room and then swears she doesn't have any. And the other day, I had an expensive chemical peel service coming in, and somehow the peel bottle got knocked over and spilled out everywhere, so I had to cancel the appointment. I mentioned it to the owner, but she thinks I'm being paranoid. Let me state, I am absolutely not being paranoid. This bitch has gone crazy. It sounds like she might have gone crazy. Okay, next story comes from Ganja_Grace. Okay, I really hope it's pronounced ganja, and I just didn't like give you a drug referenced name all on my own. I'm sorry if I did. But anyway, she says, I had a coworker who complained about everything I did. One time, to get on her good side, I got her foot soak ready because we had a pedi at the same time. She straight up dumped all the water and did it again because it wasn't how she would have done it. Shit like this happened every day. That's petty. All right. And then we have Monica Connolly Aesthetics. I hope I pronounced that right too. Damn, I am on a roll today. She's a crazy one. She says she worked for a corporate spa and was the only esthetician for some time. So her regional hired another SD to work on her days off. She says, I spent 3 weeks training this girl. She was sweet, but was a type that just loved to hear herself talk. And she never listened to any of the training that I was giving her. After I completed, basically gave up her training, she was put on the floor. Every single client she had complained that she'd botched the entire service, and they could tell she had no idea what was going on. I brought it to my manager's attention, but was told it was probably just a case of first aid jitters, even though she'd been there 3 weeks. Then one day the girl calls and says she's stuck in Canada, but wouldn't tell us why. She then decides to tell us that the whole time she's not even licensed, and she'd made up the story that her license was coming in the mail since she was a recent graduate. Now we are very cautious with who is hired, and they have to show their license before this interview happens. Yeah, I've worked places where I keep forgetting to bring my license in, and they have never questioned it now that I've thought about it. All right, another anonymous. Okay, had a coworker at a privately owned salon who would sleep with her clients' husbands. How this became a thing, I'm not sure, but that was her MO. Get a client, sleep with their husband. I had a gut feeling to never trust her, and boy, was I right. I hear she has gotten her shit together and is doing better. Hope it's true. Gosh, that's awful. And our last story is another anonymous, because she says this one is happening right now. Let's see. And she says, pretty sure her coworker listens to the podcast. Oh, well, shit, that just got awkward. Okay, I work at a salon spa that does nothing but booth rental. So technically, she's not a coworker, but we sublet the same room. She's there like a single day a week most times. But OMG, she's so nasty. She reuses those dehydrated sponges you buy from like Universal. I find them everywhere with old makeup stains on them. So one day I threw them away thinking that they were garbage and she was just being lazy. Well, she called to yell at me for throwing away her supplies. Said it was perfectly safe to reuse them if they were, and I quote, soaped up and put into the UV sanitizer. Sounds legit to me. She also double dips because her wax is antimicrobial, or so she says, and she never changes out the bed sheets. I come in an hour early to sanitize everything on the days I work after she's been there. The owner and her went to school together like 30 years ago, and she won't hear a bad word against her. I wish I could rent another space, but this is what I can afford, and it's near an area that gets a ton of foot traffic. Is it bad that I want to turn her into our governing board? No, it's not. Oh my God, please don't reuse those sponges, guys. They are disposable sponges. They are not to be reused. Ugh, nasty. Okay, moving on to our next segment. I did have a few questions that you guys wanted me to answer that I did not get to the last episode. So I thought I'd just go ahead and finish those on today's show. And if you have anything you'd like me to answer on the podcast, send it via DM or email at estheticianontheedge@yahoo.com. The first question is, what do you do when someone makes a bad brow shape choice? I mean, do you fix it or do you continue to wax it like it is? It's a good question. I feel the only correct answer is that you should be giving the client what the client wants. They are paying you to perform a service, so it's kind of about them and not about you. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I will sperm brow the hell out of somebody if that's what makes their little heart happy. To me, making a decision for a brow client that you think is best would be just like going to your hairstylist, telling her that you want an inch taken off your hair, and then she takes off three because she thinks that's what's best for your hair. Now, I know a lot of y'all don't agree with me, and that is okay. Perfectly okay. If your clients will let you get away with doing what the hell you want, keep doing it. Now, I'll ask a client, you know, I'll say, hey, girl, we should totally let this piece grow in. Look at how good they look when it's filled in. And I'll fill in that little tiny spot that needs to be grown in. And I'll show them. And sometimes they're like, oh, hey, yeah, that looks good. And sometimes they're horrified at how big their brow is. And they make me sperm them. But either way, I'm going to do what the client wants done with their brows. Because at the end of the day, they are the ones paying for the service. All right, next question. Why do you talk shit about people who do online consultations? Wait, do I talk shit about them? I probably do. I just don't remember doing it. I feel like I talk shit about a lot of people. Yeah, consultations for skincare, they should be done in person unless you're doing a brief, you know, oh, you have this and this and yeah, come on in, no problem. We can help you with that. What I'm seeing from a lot of people are consultations followed by product recommendations. No. Clients, they don't understand skin like an esthetician is supposed to understand skin. We need to know a client's baseline skin before we can even begin to fix a problem. Clients rarely can process what's going on with their skin, and they have a really hard time communicating that. So asking a client via, I don't know, Skype or FaceTime or however you're doing it, tell me about your skin. What's going on? Yeah, they have no clue what's going on. That's why they come in to see you. If you do an online consultation and you know, they say, oh my God, my acne is so bad. And it might be bad in that moment, but are you going to dig deeper? Does your little 15-minute consultation allow you to do that? Probably not. And it doesn't really give you a time to make a relationship and connect with them and really dig deeper into what could possibly be happening. So for me, I think doing a consultation, you know, through a chat or even FaceTime, it's not something that we should be doing. I mean, I just don't feel like we're being responsible as estheticians if we're doing call, text, chat consultations and then being ballsy enough to give them basically what amounts to a diagnosis and recommendations, all without ever laying hands on them. There is no substitute for actually touching your client's skin, seeing it under a magnifying light, and talking to them. So that's probably why I talk shit about them. All right, last question. Do you try to get your clients to use just one line? What I mean is, I've heard you talk about SkinCeuticals a lot. Do you push your clients toward using a cleanser, toner, serum, etc., all from that line? I was taught products are formulated to work better if you use the whole line. Is that true? To answer your question, I do not try to push my clients into just one specific line. Probably because, you know, I think a well-formulated product, it should work well with any product. Unless there's, you know, like an ingredient that shouldn't be put together. That's it. And I've heard that same line of bullshit from brands, you know, that they work synergistically to balance your pH and protect your microbiome, whatever. SkinCeuticals, for instance, since you used them in your example, I love products like C for Lick and the Triple Lipid Moisturizer from SkinCeuticals. But I think that some of their products, like their sunscreen and that discoloration defense, it sucks. And I would never push my clients toward those products. There are other sunscreens and other pigment products that would be much, that do a much better job than the ones that I sell. I also do something really bad, and I know as an esthetician, I'm not supposed to do this. I even preach to my students when I taught not to do this, and I do it daily. But I always try to think of people's budgets. Now, I personally work in a pretty privileged area, but sometimes I will get people in that have been gifted, you know, like a facial, or they've gotten a gift card for our establishment. And they are so overwhelmed with everything, with the service, with where they're at, and especially with the price of the retail. And I know that they will not buy a $280 TNS serum. So what do you do? I'm going to give them options that they might be more, you know, comfortable with. Even if it's not from me, if it's from the spa down the street or, you know, Sephora. I am about good skin and whatever it takes to give my client good skin. Although I will say, after this coronavirus shit, I might be less about skin and more about my own bank account for just a little bit. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. All right, our last segment is going to be really quick before we reveal our PAM of the week. Stephabulous underscore 55 asks a really simple question. Is being early a pain? Now, I assume she means, is it a problem when she as a client comes in a bit early for her appointment? And I think as a whole, we'd all agree, it isn't a problem as long as you don't have expectations of getting in early. A lot of clients, for whatever reason, they get it in their head that if they just get there 15 minutes early, we can go ahead and take them back and then they can get on with their day. And that does happen sometimes, but most of the time it is not going to happen. So, you know, sure, come in early if you want, but just, you know, tell whoever checks you in, hey, I know I'm early, no rush, I'm just going to hang out. Not a big deal. You know, if you don't tell them that, they're going to come back and try to rush us into taking you early. Does that make sense? So, yeah, perfectly fine to come in early, at least for me. Just don't push me into taking you early. Okay, it's time for our PAM of the week, and this lovely esthetician would like to remain anonymous because she is still at her job, and she writes, so I had a brand new client come in and see me for a hydrofacial and dermaplaning. She filled out a consent form and then answered a phone call. I waited for about 5 minutes, but then needed to go ahead and start the service because she, of course, was already 15 minutes late. When I went to greet her and take her back, she interrupted me by putting her hand up and said, I'm on the phone and I'll need to stay on the phone. I told her, no worries, I understood, and to go ahead and come back with me. I start cleansing her skin and the person that she's been on hold with comes back and gives her a name and a number to contact. This Pam repeated the number and said she got it. She hangs up. She looks back at me and says, did you write that down? And I'm glad that I didn't jokingly giggle because I quickly realized she was absolutely serious. She had expected me to write it down. When I told her no, I'm sorry, I was actually cleansing your skin, she sighed heavily and said, okay, fine, hold on. Then she set up to find the notes app on her phone to put the number in. When she couldn't remember the whole thing, she looked back at me again and said, what was the number that she gave me? I said, sorry, I don't remember. From then on, the appointment went fine, other than her trying to tell me how to do the hydrofacial because, and I quote, she's had 10 treatments before this one, so she knows how they should feel. And it took everything in me to hold back from saying, ma'am, I do at least 10 of these a week. Settle down. She rebooked with me, so now at least I have 5 weeks to mentally prepare for her next appointment. It sounds like you're going to need it. True Pam in True Pam form. That is all the time that we have for today. If you have any topics or questions you'd like covered, please send an email to estheticianontheedge@yahoo.com or send me a DM. And if I think I have any working knowledge of said subject, I will try to cover it on a future episode. Thank you for listening, and as always, wishing you a PAM-free week. See you next show.